Y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Here in the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like your sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are your co-hosts, Chris.
And Jonathan.
Sorry the last show got out so late. I had some technical difficulties after we did the show, but I wanted to make sure I got it out regardless. And, you know, just got to get it in.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the...
Drama.
Yeah. Has at least subsided. We know there are issues that are still around that still need to be resolved. But, you know, it's a little bit. We can get back to actually talking some football, y'all. The NBA is coming.
Yep.
It's knocking on the door. All of that. But, you know, we're about to get into it. You know how we do.
Oh, yeah.
Want to give a shout out to the brothers from the Hip Hop Digest. Put our show out last week that we did with them.
Woo-woo.
It was great.
What's going on, y'all?
And I've said before, one of our favorite podcasts out there, that was a good time. If y'all want to hit us up, please do. TheBrothersLayman@gmail.com. On Twitter, @BrothersLayman. Hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You hit us up, we'll read it on the show, answer your questions there.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns, anything y'all want to let us know. Like I always say, it is fantasy season. So if y'all got any questions, football, I know basketball is about to start up too. So let us know and we will definitely get back at you.
All right. The one thing that did pop out that, you know, does need to be addressed is this Associated Press coming out saying that the law enforcement officer who, you know, I guess who decided to pass the tape on to the NFL, sent it to Jeffrey Miller, the NFL senior VP of security.
Sources said.
Yes, sources said. And the NFL is denying that.
Of course they
have not received it at
because,
all.
Because, again, a lot of these, it's, okay, this is what I hate about sources. Because there's nothing concrete. Basically, a middleman said that such and such happened. So, and this is why I'm like, okay, this law enforcement dude who keeps, I guess, kind of giving out little tidbits of info, come out from the closet, bro. I'm sorry, but show your face, say what happened, man up to it. Because I'm getting so sick of sources coming out and said the NFL did this. Sources said this. How about somebody get the balls and just stand up and say, you know what? I handed him the tape. Are you going to get some ridicule? Of course you are. But you know what? You did give them the tape. You were doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there are going to be people out there that commend you for that and say, you know what? You did a good job. You may lose your job.
You probably will lose your job.
But you will have people out there who see the bigger picture, and I guarantee you, dude, you'll probably be able to get another job somewhere. Because, granted, you broke.
Maybe not as a cop.
Possibly not. Right. I mean, but my thing is, as a cop, your job is to protect and serve, correct? As a doc, doctors have a hypocritic oath where no matter if they may hate you or guts, but they are going to do what they can to help you if need be.
You hope. That's what
you're hoping. Same with police, it should be. I'm assuming they have somewhat of an oath where it's like, you know, even if I'm off duty, if I see something going down, I should step in and help for the greater good. Now, we all know that's not reality, and we all know cops are shady.
Yeah.
We know that. Yeah. But I'm just saying, there are good cops. I mean, all cops ain't shady. There are good cops out there. I know good cops. I know some quality police officers. There are good ones out there. But I'm just saying, if these sources. I'm just like, dude.
If you're going to keep leaking it, just.
Just come out and say you. Like, you,
yeah,
you
I'm the one. I sent the tape out.
Right.
What?
They were
60 minutes. Do your.
They were kind of referring to him as like almost like Deep Throat from the whole Watergate situation. Yeah. And they just keep leaking stuff and leaking. It's like, dude, just come out and say, yeah, it was me. Because I'm so sick of this. Because all that's going to happen is you're going to say something happened. NFL's going to deny it. And we're going to be left up in the air. Did it happen or did it not? And it's just going to keep going. And it's honestly, it's annoying. And I'm tired of hearing about it. I am. Because it's not like the NFL is going to say, all right, we give in. Yeah, we got the tech. No, they're going to keep denying until some concrete evidence is present. So until some concrete evidence comes out, I really don't give a shit anymore. I don't care anymore. I don't. I really don't care anymore. I don't care what sources said. I don't care. The only reason we got to speak on it is just because it happened. But personally, I really don't care anymore. Until something concrete comes, I'm done.
No, I feel you. I'm just kind of like, all right, leak here, leak there.
Just like, all right, whatever.
And the fellas deny, deny, deny.
Of course. Because yeah. There's nothing concrete.
No, they don't want to take that hit.
Jesus Christ. So whatever, man.
No, but that's all the really, you know, dramatic news. Mm-hmm. You know, onto the football, where after week three, we got 3-3-0 teams.
Man.
Arizona Cardinals, the Cincinnati Bengals, and Philadelphia Eagles.
And I'm just going to say this. Let's start off with Arizona, because I got to get them some respect. I disrespected them so badly on the last show. I was listening to it, and I was like, damn, they're going to get their butts kicked.
Niners going
to
whoop that ass.
And you know what? The Niners are a whack. And no offense, KJ, but I'm completely off the Kaepernick bandwagon. Wasn't fully on to begin with, but the part of me that was like giving him a shot is gone. I'm done with him. He is not a top 10 quarterback. As Colin Cowherd likes to say, he is not the hardest quarterback to prepare for. Not by a long shot. He's regressed as far as I'm concerned. He's regressing. 29-37, 245, one touchdown. That's it. That's all you giving me. Drew Stanton at least threw two of them bitches. I'm like, what? Frank Gore got six carries?
I mean, that's
ridiculous.
That Arizona defense is real.
Their defense is serious. I thought they were going to miss Darrell Washington a lot, but it looks like they ain't skipped a beat. And they're doing a great job. So I got to give them props. And Michael Floyd showed up. 5 catches, 114 yards. I mean, and look out for John Brown, man. They were pumping this kid up in the offseason, got 2 TDs. He is that, a lot of people compare him to T.Y. Hilton. I'm just saying. And that San Francisco D does not look like it should. But, I mean, they're missing, you know, their best pass rusher. Alden Smith is gone. I mean, he's one of the best pass rushers in the league.
Yeah.
So, of course, that's going to take a hit. And, you know, missing Navarro Bowman in the middle with Patrick Willis. I mean, that's a... You missed two all-pro linebackers. Yeah, your defense is going to take a step back. I wasn't expecting it to take this much of a step back.
Right.
But, I don't mean, Arizona looks for real.
Yeah,
they
I mean, he's
serious.
You know, the coach has them playing real well.
And Bruce Arians is doing a great job, man.
You know, Andre Ellington's, you know, been, you know, somewhat healthy and still performing.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, if Carson Palmer comes back and can step his play up, I mean – they were almost there last year.
Yep.
They didn't win like 10 games last year.
I believe so. They were 10-6. They were on the cusp of getting in their playoffs.
I mean, and right now, you know, leading that division.
Mm.
That's saying something.
That is, man.
Hey, man, with the Niners, though, you know, there was all this rumbling before the season about Jim Harbaugh and wearing his team out and all of that. Do you think some of that is coming to fruition?
Well, they always kind of say what happens in the dark eventually comes out in the light. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, could be he's, I mean, because I know Frank Gore was pissed that he only got 6 carries. I know Jim Harbaugh said they're gonna feed him this next game. We'll see about that. But I think.
I mean, Kaepernick ran 12
it's hard.
Times.
It's hard. And to be honest, I think a lot of it started when they got rid of Alex Smith. I really think a lot of the players liked Alex Smith. I think he fit the system perfectly. I think once they got rid of him, it was kind of like, especially when he was winning. Right. And that to me was the messed up part. It was like, dude, he's 8-1. Why are you benching him? I mean, Colin Kaepernick is cool, but I mean,
nobody gave out. Alex Smith is not sellable. So a lot of it was team. It was the defense. It was Frank Gore.
I mean,
all of a sudden, you know, Kaepernick comes winning
and yeah,
posing with his shirt off. Now Sports Illustrated. Now it's Colin Kaepernick, and then the rest of the team.
Exactly, and I think. See, a lot of the things a lot of people don't put into effect, and I know, you know, the NFL players do, and the NFL actual analysts who played, is the locker room situation. Once you have a divide, it's hard to bring it all back together. I mean, I have a feeling once they got rid of Alex Smith, there was kind of a divide, and some guys were like, you know, I don't really want to ride with Colin Kaepernick like that. And we could potentially be seeing why a lot of the guys liked Alex Smith. I mean, Alex Smith could get the job done. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can say what you want. He came through here and got the arm strength, blah, 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 blah. I mean, whatever he was doing, it was working.
Yes.
So, I don't know. But, you know, clearly it looks like there could be some friction in that locker room. Guys aren't on the same page. I know, you know, like I said, they're missing two all-pro linebackers on that defense. But you have a lot of weapons on that offense. To where there really is no excuse for Colin Kaepernick.
No, that's real.
So that's my take on the Niners right there. So.
All
right,
the other game that from week three we deserve to talk a lot about, especially hearing it again, and you were so bold. Pick of the week, Aaron Rodgers.
Dude.
Demolishing the Lions.
Once again, I need to apologize to the Detroit Lions. Folks in Detroit, man, I'm sorry, but dang.
I thought Packers was going to win too, but damn.
I thought they would do better than this. I don't know what's up with Aaron Rodgers. I know he told everybody to relax. We can't relax right now when you're putting up games like this. I mean, their defensive line shut the running game down. I mean, Eddie Lacy couldn't do nothing.
Nah, man.
And I mean,
he hasn't been looking all that great. I mean, granted. You know, they played some tight defenses early on, but, yeah, this is not a good start.
But this was a game where Matt Stafford was garbage.
He was.
He was terrible. And, I mean, they ran the ball okay. I mean, they ran it a lot, but they didn't need 3 yards a carry. They ain't much.
Calvin Johnson, I mean, if you hold 6 for 82,
that's pretty good. Yeah, that's a quiet game for him. So, and no TDs. So, I mean, in all honesty, there was no excuse for the Packers not to win this game. It was handed to them to win, and they couldn't do it. So, no. I mean, Detroit, I give them props. Their defense has shown a lot more than I gave them credit for. I'm still not sold on their defensive backfield. I still don't think the corners are all that great. But their front is amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dominican Sue, Nick Fairley, them boys, they're wrecking havoc up front. So,
hey, playing for contracts, too.
That is part of the situation. That's always a motivation. So, Nick Fairley, I know he's trying to get paid. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, you know, Green Bay, we keep thinking of them like this, but they're not that Super Bowl team. It is basically Aaron Rodgers.
And everybody else.
We haven't really heard much. Randall Cobb was a stud last year. He's been kind of quiet. You know, so there's been Jordy Nelson and
that's it. They have not yet replaced Greg Jennings. Mm. They didn't replace Greg Jennings when they got rid of him. They assumed Jarrett Boykin, I guess, would be able to step into that role, but he's had his fair share of drops. And, I mean, Greg Jennings was almost like old reliable. I mean, he had great hands. He seemed to catch everything. Aaron Rodgers seemed to find him, you know, whenever he needed a big play or a first down and – you know, they passed that on to Jordy Nelson, and Jordy Nelson, granted, is doing a great job in his own right. But to me, Randall Cobb is more of a slot guy, and you have no threat on the other end. So, right. I mean, everybody's basically zoning in on Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson, and that's it. They shutting them two down. You know, if you can't run the ball, they're done. There's nothing they can do. So, I mean, I don't know about Eddie Lacy. He's not looking right. I don't know if, you know, he had a concussion early on. I don't know if that's playing a factor or what. But plus, their O-line's banged up. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just have issues across the board. So, I can't relax, Aaron. Can't. Talking about relax. Nah, I'm not going to relax.
Nah. I mean, should you go in panic mode? No. But, I mean, you're Mr. Calm, cool. Winning covers a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, you start losing.
That's when everybody starts nitpicking. Wait a minute. That's when everybody starts nitpicking. What's going on?
That ego, mm-hmm. not getting along with everybody.
Everybody said he wasn't that great of a leader. Mm-hmm. It is. I don't know.
Hey, man, the Eagles are 3-0, man. You know, all three comebacks, you know, down 14, and just coming back.
Washington's defense is atrocious.
But, hey, remember, you know, coming into that game, they run defense looking good.
Atrocious. And, I mean, all honesty, their run defense was good. They held them to 25 carries, 54 yards. They didn't do nothing on the running game. It was the backfield. They got eight.
They've always had
problems. I mean, dude, Kirk Cousins put up 400 yards and three touchdowns, and you telling me the defense couldn't help him? That's their Achilles heel. F the offense. Their defense sucks. It was terrible last year. It is god-awful again. Mm-hmm. I mean, golly, I'm sorry. I know the Eagles have looked great in the second half of games, but Washington's D sucks.
Yeah, we're going to speak on Washington. We're going to get a little deeper into how much Washington defense sucks in a minute.
Garbage.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Kirk Cousins had his little coming out party. Mm-hmm. And
he looked good.
Loving it. You know, Nick Foles, they getting the job done. Mm-hmm. Given that, you know, I know Darren Sproles had a little quiet game. Shady McCoy, man, that dude is fun to watch.
Oh, Shady McCoy.
He getting
awesome.
Open space. He is just killing you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Macklin starting to bubble up, had that 8-for-154 and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. They were just going off.
Yeah, they did a good job. They pulled off a great comeback. They've been looking good in the second half of games, but they gotta start getting off quick.
Yeah,
on a quicker foot.
If I'm them, I'm happy with 3-0. I'll take the 3 W's, but they're not clicking yet.
No.
You know, in terms of, you know, they scrappy.
Mm-hmm.
So, in terms of being however down we are, we can come back. You know, you got that in your pocket. Now you need to feel like we can get on leads. Can we get a lead?
Exactly.
And hold a lead?
Exactly.
We don't know.
Exactly.
But, you know, they're looking kind of hot. Oh, yeah, we can talk about that fight, though. Yeah. Hey, man, that hit on Nick Foles. You have a problem with it?
Yes and no. I mean, part of it is it was uncalled for. I mean, it was like, dude. Clearly, he wasn't going to.
He was headed towards.
But I mean, look, dude. He wasn't going to really do. Do you really think he was going to tackle old dude? I really don't think Nick Foles was even going to attempt to tackle anybody. He just wanted to kind of just go over.
It's
see
just
what was
where
going.
The ball is going.
You know where the ball is at. People gravitate towards where the ball is. He cold cock knocked him out. Like it was like. Come on, bro. I mean, because as a Broncos fan, somebody did that to Peyton Manning, I'd be like, what the hell?
Right.
Because I'm like, you know Peyton ain't going to tackle somebody. He ain't doing nothing. But in fairness to Chris Baker, it was an interception. He was gravitating towards the ball. We have seen heard cats in the past say, when you out on the interception, you the quarterback, you got to keep your head on a swivel because you know dudes are looking for an opportunity just to hit you. That's all they want to hit the quarterback. And you know there are so many times where guys are just frustrated they came that close to getting you and getting a sack where it's just like, oh, free play, boop,
yeah.
I got you now.
I heard Mike Golick was like, people put money on that.
Oh, yeah. So,
it was
when
it's the interception, see, got the quarterback, lay him out. And he got laid out.
I bet you Nick Foles will look around next time an interception happens, be like, make sure I'm good.
Yeah. Maybe it hasn't happened and he, you know.
I will say, I got to give props to Jason Peter because
love his response.
He was like, oh, nigga, boop, don't hit my quarterback. Mm. And that, to me, that shows you that. Nick Foles has that locker room, you know, behind him.
His
old line is like, dude, don't fuck with a quarterback.
Yeah.
Don't you ever do that.
Oh, no, loved it. I wasn't mad at all.
That,
I was like,
and that's what you like to see old linemen do. They protect their guys.
Right. If you see the defensive lineman's gonna take a shot at your QB, you're like, all right, my turn.
Yep. And he came out of nowhere and was like, dude, let's go. And then the whole team came in. It was like, all right.
You know, they got kicked out, but they pulled the W out. That was interesting. I was like, ooh, okay.
Hey.
Smack them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Got to defend your QB.
Yep.
You know, the Rams was up early.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what the? These Cowboys is ass. Really? You down like 17 nothing to the Rams? Flip back later. Damn. All of a sudden, it's a damn shootout. Cowboys pull it out. Good for them. But, hey, all I got to say right now is, oh, you're running the ball. Look what happened.
Thank
DeMarco Murray.
Wow.
Killing.
The formula really works, doesn't it? I mean, I don't. Cowboys, I'm still kind of, I'm iffy on them. I ain't expecting much out of them this season anyway. Now.
Same 8-8.
At best. I'm still expecting them to be last in the division. Just watch. They ain't gotten, they ain't gotten to them real division games yet. Okay. I'm just saying. Now, let's get into an actual meaningful game.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking team loss.
Yes. You know we got to talk about that.
Now, that
was... you was talking big like you're supposed to.
Of course. I'm not going to sit here and be like, yeah, my team's going to lose. Of course. No. I had to back my team. But you know what? That was a game, man. You talk about an awesome game. That was an awesome game to watch. I mean, both defenses were playing well. But you got to give props to Seattle. Seattle did what they had to do. They pulled it out in the end. Russell Wilson, man, he's awesome. He's a really good quarterback, and he's so freaking smart, and that's what puts him on a different level than some of these other young quarterbacks who can run. Is he uses his brain, man. He knows when to run. He doesn't run just to run. He knows when to run. I mean, it was overtime, and I have to say, even as a Broncos fan, that drive was beautiful to watch. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just like, damn, because it was just like, oh, bloop, bloop. Third down and four. Oh, running. First down. Like, god damn it. Like, it was just one of those things like
tickle him.
Yes, like, get to, and it was, he avoids sacks so well. He's incredible,
he's
man.
He's one of the quarterbacks, yeah, as soon as they hide the ball, the line's protecting, he doesn't find anything. You're like, hurry up and tackle him.
Yeah,
hurry up and tackle him.
Because he'll escape, and you see he escapes, guys, and he's still looking downfield.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, god dang it. And then, all right, none's there. All right, now I'm taking off. So that's what I love about him and the difference between him and Colin Kaepernick and RG3. He goes through all his reads. It's like, is this guy open? Nope. That guy, that guy, that guy. All right, let me scramble. Is he open? Nope. All right, fine, I'm taking off.
Right.
He goes through his whole progression instead of these other guys where it's like, all right, none there. All right, I'm taking off. You can't do that. You can't play that way. And like I said, that drive was unbelievable to watch. Those two last drives were amazing. I mean, Peyton Manning's drive with 59 seconds left.
80 yards.
I was sitting here like, come on, Peyton. You've done it a billion times. And you could just see how poised he was. He wasn't rushing. He wasn't nervous. And they finally took their shots, man. And I think that is what Denver, if anything, has to take away from this, is that you can take shots against Seattle. You just got to take good ones.
Mm-hmm.
But you can take some shots. Like Emmanuel Sanders was huge. And you can clearly see he makes a difference between he and Eric Decker. There's just a big difference. He's faster than Eric Decker. He's quicker. You know, I mean, he's a smaller guy, but he's much more quicker. It's almost like two Wes Welkers out there. Like, they're just both just quick as hell. I mean, Demaryius Thomas, that two-point conversion catch over against Richard Sherman, what can I say? I mean, that was just like, toe tap at the back of the end zone. I almost thought it wasn't going in. And I mean, damn it, that was greatness. So, I mean, it was a great game to watch.
Because he was quiet for a moment, but, I mean, he came up with the big play.
I love Richard Sherman at the end because he was pissed. It was like, we got the W, but damn it, it shouldn't have been that close.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I ain't mad at you, brother. I ain't mad at you.
That's where you earn your money as defense. You're like, all right, we up. All we got to do is protect
and
under a minute to go, and it's over. And that, you gave up 8.
Yeah. And then, I mean, and got to give love to Denver's D.
No, they showed up
and clearly John Elway, money well spent. Because that defense is 9 times better than it was last season. I can tell you that much. So the fact that the defense was now able to hold the other team and leave the door open for Peyton Manning to do some damage has to give them at least some confidence knowing, you know what, if Peyton's not on, our defense at least can hold it down to give Peyton a shot to win. So damn it, we lost, and I'm pissed we lost, but that is more so what I expected the Super Bowl to look like that.
Yeah, that's what we were all hoping for.
So,
and that was a good game.
Yeah. All right, moving on, week 4.
Week 4.
Yeah.
We was talking about how Boo Boo and Redskins were defensively. Yeah, it showed up on that Thursday game.
Hey, man.
Eli Manning, you're back with a vengeance.
Good Eli showed up because, woo! We've been seeing the stink of Eli for the first couple of weeks, but we've always said Eli Manning likes the tight ends, and clearly it showed because this cat, Larry Donnell, from what I understand, he was an undrafted free agent out of Alabama State.
Mm-hmm.
holla at your black colleges.
That's right.
And
he's been solid. He's been solid all season.
Yeah, he's been good so far. I mean, he was kind of an unknown, but clearly now he is known. And I'm sure everybody jumped on their waiver wires like, I'm picking him up.
He definitely shouldn't have been. I mean, he was solid enough where you were like, oh, I can add him on my bench at least. Mm-hmm. Let me add him because it ain't like tight end. A lot of great tight ends on there.
Yeah, but Eli Manning, I mean, 300 yards, 4 TDs. I mean, that's the Eli Manning you expect to see. And their defense was putting it on Washington. I mean, woo. So, got to give him props, man. 4 picks. And I guess this is a lot of people are like, this is why Kirk Cousins is not a starter. This is the bad Kirk Cousins.
That's what my homie said. His carriage has now turned back into a pumpkin.
Yep.
Because damn.
And it's kind of jacked up.
Yeah, and I started him and I was like, you bitch.
Yeah, the dude playing me started him too. And I was like, thank you. Yeah, so, I mean, he came, I mean, when he was in his press conference, and it's kind of jacked up. I guess after his big game, he was kind of like, yeah, you know, it's still Robert's team. You know, I'm just kind of holding the team for him. And then he had this game, so people were like, yeah, I guess it really is Robert's team. Yeah. RG3, when you're coming back, because. But, I mean, let's not panic. Yeah, this is one game. I mean, New York's defense is it's pretty good.
Yeah, you know.
I mean. And we've seen both sides of Kirk Cousins before. We've seen the good one. We've seen the bad. And, I mean, we were ranting and raving about him for his 400-yard game, you know, against the Eagles.
Right.
And now he had a bad game. So, I mean, let's not panic. If he wins next week, what are we going to say?
Right. It's all this week-to-week stuff.
Exactly.
I mean, look, the dude been sitting on the bench for 3 years. It's not like RG3 where I've had 3 straight years of starting and I'm struggling. Kirk Cousins just been waiting and waiting and waiting. And you get – garbage game, and, you know, granted, you know, them losing these two games to division opponents that's not a good look starting off.
Now, part of it, I'm going to put on Jake Gruden because Alfred Moore getting 12 carries is unacceptable, especially when he was averaging 5 yards a carry and got a TD. I'm like, how are you only giving him 12 carries then? Why is Kirk Cousins throwing the daggum ball so much? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is what it is, but they got to feed Alfred Morris more. We kind of saw they were very pass happy when he was the offensive coordinator in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I know he gets pass happy sometimes, but he has to learn. He has a top 10 running back on his team, and he needs to utilize him. I mean, run that fool. So, yeah, Washington, and I ain't impressed.
Nah, they still got some work.
Giants have impressed me a little bit these past couple weeks.
Yeah, you kind of woke up like, okay, I'm going to pay attention to you, see what you do, if you can continue this. Not that Rashad Jennings beat down last week.
He put it on him.
Damn, 34 carries. Yeah,
They kind of limited his carries this week because I guess, you know, didn't want to overwork him too much because they plan on leaning on him during the season. So we'll see.
Happens. Mm-hmm. All right, some other games popping up for this weekend. You know, the Packers going to the Bears. Another division game.
If Green Bay loses,
ooh.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, you can't say relax no more. Fans is going to be like, what the hell?
Yep, you 1-3.
1-3, unacceptable. So, I mean, at Chicago, they just came off that nice win against the Jets. Brandon Marshall came up a little limping.
Yeah, they've been
limping. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, hopefully he can be healthy. But, I mean, if Green Bay can't get it together, I mean, Jay Cutler better than Matt Stafford. So,
yeah. You just hope you just get that right, Jay Cutler.
Yeah, you the one that throws it to everybody else. So,
hey, man, this game is about. Two teams who hate each other, one of the oldest rivalries.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot at stake. And you know, Jay Cutler got something to prove. I don't care what he got to say. You got to beat Aaron Rodgers.
I don't want
to
say it's a must win for Green Bay, but it's almost a must win because if they lose this, they could potentially be last in their division.
Yeah, Bears will go up 3-1. You know, you already lost. You already gave a game to Detroit.
Mm-hmm. You can't be down 2 in that division.
Nah,
it's
going
to be too hard to come back.
Man.
And let's see, any other game? We got Carolina-Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Smith going back.
Yeah.
Or excuse me. Steve Smith will be at home, but he facing his old team. I know he says it's going to be blood and guts everywhere. I'm expecting him to blow up on somebody or throw a punch or getting somebody. We have seen him when he gets pissed off. He can lose his temper very quickly. And I'm sure a lot of his teammates, or excuse me, I should say former teammates, who heard all his shit talking, all his jabbering, all them years in practice, I'm sure they're looking at the chops to get a chance to just knock him out. Mm-hmm. So I can see Cat's getting into it.
He going to be talking.
He without game. Question. And I can see some of his teammates ready, just light him up. So I'm expecting it to be a tough matchup, but Steve Smith's been rejuvenated. He's looked really good so far this season. I mean, Torrey Smith looks like the number two receiver to his number one.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, but, and then for Carolina, Cam Newton, got to get it together. He got bam demolished against Pittsburgh. It was ugly.
That was ugly.
So, I mean, D'Angelo Williams is back. Hopefully that'll help their cause a little bit. But
Stewart's out. And
they're going to have to lean on D'Angelo Williams for this game. So.
Yeah, they need some running. And they need to run him more. He hasn't gotten any goal line carries at all.
And then for
Cam Newton.
And Bernard Pierce for Baltimore, this is basically his chance because he's finally coming back from injury. If he don't play well today, they may give it to that young dude. Was it Tagliaferro or whatever his name was?
Who, he came out.
Hey, he was balling. He's a big guy, and he was beasting. So, I mean, Bernard Pierce better do something or he's going to lose his spot.
Yeah, he and Forsett have been a nice tandem. But, yeah, Bernard Pierce is on that clock.
Mm-hmm. And then you got Detroit and the Jets.
Toughy.
Ooh.
Jets D has been pretty good.
It's been all right. It's been solid. Their defensive backfield has been, a little iffy.
In Detroit on the road. We don't know. And
their defensive backfield is iffy. Yeah,
coming off that huge win.
I can't call this game. You got two inconsistent quarterbacks. two suspect running games. I mean, they can kind of go off or not go off at any given moment.
Yeah, we already heard people like, well, Michael Vick could have won that game. Like, I'm not putting Michael Vick in. If Michael Vick was so great, he'd be starting somewhere.
He would have beat out Geno. So let's hold our horses. I mean, if Geno doesn't start showing up soon, though, you know, I could see them making that switch at some point. But we'll see. If Eric Decker ain't playing, if Eric Decker does not play, Detroit's going to win.
Yeah, he said he's going to play.
If we don't know how much or how effective he'll be, remains to be seen.
Then we got the Eagles and 49ers. That's going to be something nice.
Again, I don't like using the term must win. Must win for San Francisco. Must win. Mm-hmm. They got
basically
to win
for
this game.
Division and the conference.
Exactly. If they lose this and go behind, you know, they could potentially go behind, you know, St. Louis, possibly. It's going to be hard to dig your – I mean, it's going to be hard to climb their way back to the top because – you know, Seattle ain't giving that up, and Arizona look like they do not want to give that up.
No, so, and the Eagles, you know, this will be the Eagles to prove. I wouldn't be surprised if they get down in this game again. You know, if they get down again, I don't know if they're going to come back and beat the Niners.
Yeah, I don't know.
But because the Niners really need this game. I mean, just for their confidence.
Yeah.
Because fools will start to chirp.
Kaepernick is whack. Like I told y'all, that fool can't throw from the pocket. I don't understand how everybody crapped on Tim Tebow, yet we're seeing Tim Tebow-esque type players.
Well, that's because all them dudes
starting quarterback because they have what, a little bit of accuracy.
They got an arm, and Tim Tebow ain't got one. That's it. And Tim Tebow could throw a little bit. He'd still be in the league.
Yeah,
but that was his problem.
And then we got New Orleans, Dallas. Everybody, hey, I mean, people are like, you know what? I can't count out Dallas. I can't count out Dallas. New Orleans has got off to a bad start, and I see them tearing them apart. Jimmy Graham didn't have a great game last game. Drew Brees has been kind of off. I can see them, like, last time we got 40 first downs against this team, we looked for 41.
Yeah, they need it.
We're going to kick their butts.
Although this is on the road, and, you know, they've been okay just outside, out the dome.
But this is also Rob Ryan's first visit to Dallas since they gave him the heave-ho. Ooh, you know, I'm sure he gonna turn up some blitzes. Let's crack Tony Romo a few times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's get a little payback.
Yeah, you know they're explosive, but, you know, they've been down. They haven't been playing that great.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Dallas doesn't seem like they can stop tight end. So, Jimmy Graham, if you got him in fantasy, fire him up.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, Saints lose this, they 1-3.
And another game that I'm going to say is very interesting, and I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
New England, Kansas City.
Yeah, Monday night game.
If New England can't win this game, because Tom Brady ain't looked that good,
has
not looked good.
Has not got
a lot of people
protection.
Are saying, is he on the decline? Part of it's his O-line. I ain't going to put it all on Tom Brady. Part of it's the fact that he ain't got no time, and he's a rhythm guy. Yeah. He has to be in some kind of rhythm. He can't just, you know, I'm cold, I can just get going. Right. You know, he's not that kind of quarterback. So he's going to have to get some protection because Kansas City at home too, they can steal this game. They could really steal this game. And if they steal this, I don't know. Once again, the chirps are going to start coming. It's Tom Brady over the hill. So we shall see.
Yeah, I can hear a lot of that coming on. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. We are going to come back. You know, training camp is up. Media day happened. And yep. Getting ready for that NBA life.
That's right.
Y'all listen to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Holla. Uh-huh. Two times. Yeah, I'm the D to the... Yeah.
Vocabulary spills, I'm ill. Plasmatic, now leave your brain stimulated.
Yo, I speak divine and got theories, no need to be high. Always exhale the facts, I don't inhale lie. Play the greater man gain to bounce off my loss. I'ma earn the acres, the house, and the horse. Of course, it's much greater than your Benz or your Lex. The engine to my comprehension is the apex. Uh-huh, too complex, affects me live like dots. Making moves down south to avoid the ball. I never flaunt the coin, cause now I'm dead as be gazing. Call me Luther, man, they say my style's so amazing. Phasing those supposed to have the last laugh. Even when I'm gone, I'm reappearing in the ass. I have to send respects to real money makers. Do not connect me to your champagne hole. Hey yo, taste a quarter pound from here to New York. Don't swine, don't eat no pork. Who am I? The D to the... Hey, and I'm the P to the...
Now leave your brain stimulated.
Yep, I'm the most coast, east and flame. Drop my knowledge that little on your New York page. It's me, wonder why, place to be. Certified as superior MC. While others explore to make a hardcore, I make it hardcore. Whack MCs to even step inside the door of rap. Rhyme me sometime. When we get to racing on the mic, we line up to see the lyrical killings. They Negroes on the ceiling. My rhyme escalate like black death rates over musical plates. Being played as the rule. Kids thinking, stepping to the crew. You label fools who claim to drop jewels. But for now, y'all do the catching. We don't give a shit on what crew you run or what section of earth you reside. You're not even a man, nigga. Yo, you're not even a man, nigga. But I'm a man because my man say so from the light. You cry keeping it real. You should try keeping it right. It's understanding microphone mathematics. He's the currency in temporary world status. And when one shows, he posed the threat. That this one will make that one into none. Simple equation.
Zero.
You shouldn't play.
Hero.
If you can't stand strong like the island I'm from. And I'm the...
Welcome back, y'all, to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour. So let us know your thoughts on week 4 on your team. How is it looking? About a quarter of the way into the season. Starting to get a little interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Hit us up. TheBrothersLayman@gmail.com. On Twitter, @BrothersLayman. Leave us a voicemail, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, definitely. We hope y'all are enjoying the show. Hope y'all keep listening. Go ahead and tell everybody about us. And if you got any fantasy questions, let me know, man. I'll get you the W. I'm 3-0. I'm just saying. So holla at your boys.
Holla. That's right. But we get into this NBA, we got an email.
Oh, for sure.
That's actually NBA related.
Whoop, whoop.
Love the show. What up, guys? Great show this week. I'm more of a basketball guy, but I enjoyed hearing your takes on the latest football news. Couple of questions. What are your thoughts on Bledsoe's new contract? I think dude and his agent played it perfect.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to lowball him, and dude refused to budge. Good for him. Also, do you think the Timberwolves are losing confidence in Rubio? Or were they just making a power play to make the Suns use more of their cap space? We all know that Rubio isn't the superstar they said he would be, but he's still solid. Keep up the great work, fellas. I heard you guys on the Hoopla show, and y'all are some fools. Teddy D, the Why Not podcast.
Hey, for sure, man. Appreciate that, Teddy D. Gonna have to check your podcast out sometime, brother.
Yeah, but see, thank you, man. We appreciate that, man. Yeah, we will be getting to some NBA talk more since the season is picking up.
Oh, yeah,
so,
definitely.
Yeah, just stay tuned and thanks for listening, man. Oh, yeah, and, yeah, we have fun with the Hoopla crew, man.
Yeah.
You know, they
have
always
a blast with them.
Talk some great basketball. We'll mm-hmm. be doing something with them real soon.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, so let's get into his question.
Yeah, let's get into his question.
Eric
All right.
Bledsoe signs a fire $70 million deal with the Suns to come back. How you
Beautiful.
Feeling?
Beautiful. I mean, you know what? Both sides worked it out perfectly. I don't think Phoenix overpaid him too much because a lot of it they're banking on his potential. Mm-hmm. You offered him 4 years, 48. He didn't want it. You tack on, you know, another year, an extra 20. Considering, you know, Kyrie Irving is injury prone. Signed 5 years, 90. Mm-hmm. You know, Eric Bledsoe, granted, he's had his share of injuries.
Yes.
He has shown that when he's healthy, he's up there. He's really good. He's a really good point guard. He's a really good defender. The key is going to be for him to stay healthy. Now, I got to give credit to Eric Bledsoe and his agent because, you know, he played it perfectly. They were like, we ain't accepting his 4 year 48. We don't want it. We want more money. They didn't budge.
No.
I mean, and I'm sure there was dialogue between the team, you know, back and forth, kind of like, you know, you want the max. All right, well, we ain't giving you the max, so we'll compromise on something. We got to find a middle ground somewhere. So I don't think it was too bad. I really don't. I don't think this deal is as bad as it looks. I mean, it's what, about 14 it's mil?
14 a
14
year.
A year? It's not bad.
All right. When I saw that, I was like, really? I mean, granted, I don't think they quote-unquote really overpaid, but for a guy that's that injury prone, you know, I'll give you the 14 mil. I don't know if I'm going to throw in the fifth year. You know, I was like, oh, I'm giving you a $2 million raise and giving you an extra year. Nah. I mean, dude is solid. I mean, when he has played, he's been balling. But I'm saying when he has played.
He's young. He's only, what, like 22?
Yeah. And granted, this is what happens when guys are restricted free agents. That's why I'm kind of like, just get rid of it. Because either you're going to have to be taking the 1 year or you're going to have to overpay. I mean, that's your two options. And they wanted to keep him.
But, I mean, I think they had to compromise because they got to pay Goran Dragic.
Yeah, they paid him. I mean,
and I think they didn't want to.
And you signed Thomas.
And I don't think they wanted to overpay, you know, Eric Bledsoe. And then Goran Dragic is like, well, my turn.
But I mean,
we had to come to a compromise. They didn't give him the max. He wanted the max. Now, he didn't get the max.
If you gave Eric Bledsoe this money, Dragic was the consistent guy last year. Mm-hmm. If that is the case again, and it seems like the guy making the big plays, your big star, well, not say star, but Dragic is the guy that's really making stuff happen. How is he going to take less money? Are you going to have to pay him?
He necessarily has to take less, but you're going to have to pay him comparable.
Well, yeah, and I keep hearing part of that is people are banking that the salary cap is going to go up.
For what? They were talking about like 2 years. It's supposed to shoot up to like 90-something.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really crazy.
Wow. So, okay. So, yeah, maybe, you know,
they're a solid backcourt. I mean, they're making it work. Mm-hmm. I think that three-guard rotation is going to be good.
Yeah.
I don't – 12 million I thought was fair. I thought that was fair. He wanted more. You know, hey, he played it. So, good for him. He got the money. I just hope down the line this don't cost him Dragic.
Yeah. That's the only issue, yeah.
It's other question with Rubio. Yeah, that was Glenn Taylor's butt talking out of his mouth. He should have gave that money to Kevin Love. I guess he thought Rubio was going to be better than Kevin Love. That was probably just him, but didn't work. You're not going to give Rubio all that because, granted, he can run the team. You know, gets great assists, puts up good steals numbers. He just can't shoot for jack.
Yeah. They hired a shooting coach to work with him, you know, consistently. So hopefully his jumper does get better. I think offering the deal to Bledsoe was, I have a feeling behind the scenes they probably are talking. And I have a feeling it's kind of been the same with Ricky Rubio. Like he wants the max. He want max dollars. And I think they were kind of like, no, we're good. Eric Bledsoe's available. All right, let's, you know. We'll offer, you know, a comparable contract to Eric Bledsoe. And it's like, you know, fine. He don't want it. Or, you know, Phoenix kind of upped it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they offered him, what, like 5 years, 60 or 65 or something like that?
Phoenix did?
Minnesota.
No, they offered him about 14 million, but they was like 4 and 60 or something like that.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
so
4 and 60.
They upped the ante a little bit. So I think that
giving him that extra year.
And I think that might have part of their ploy with Ricky Rubio. Like, look, this is what we're gonna offer you. 4 years, 64, you know, whatever. I think Ricky Rubio wants the max, and they were like, no, we're good.
No, I honestly think they were really trying to get Bledsoe, and I think if they had gotten Bledsoe, Rubio at some point would have
been traded.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's, you know, because, I mean, Eric Bledsoe and Andrew Wiggins in the backcourt, sell some tickets.
Or the owner just has an affinity for point guards, and he just wants another one. Because yeah. I never going to forget that three-point guard draft. That was the stupidest thing in the world.
And you didn't pick the right ones either. No, I'm good on Steph Curry. He hurt.
Nah, I'm good. Ty Lawson, trade him.
Yeah.
God, let's keep Johnny Flynn.
Okay.
And Ricky Rubio can't shoot.
So, yeah, Teddy, thanks for that email.
Yeah,
man.
Appreciate that.
Your questions.
Continue to listen, please.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Rajon Rondo, speaking of point guards, now 6 to 8 weeks after surgery to repair his broken hand that he broke it from falling at home.
Falling doing what?
Then, you know, that's always the question. What was you doing? You're like, six, damn.
Well, Marcus Smart, get ready because you're going to be running the show for a while.
Yeah.
Until he gets back. So.
This is, I'm like, what? You're like, right before training camp. Oh, my hand's broken. So I'm not going to be able to be there at the start of the season. I'm in training camp and the beginning of the season. Like,
is he injury prone?
You know, honestly, I don't think so, but. If I'm Boston, my patience has just dropped even more. I remember at the point when this happened, I was like, he gone. Now, yeah, I'm really listening to
some people.
Didn't
you have like the owner come out and basically say he was kind of a headache?
Oh.
I read somewhere, I guess the owner was kind of like, yeah, you know, he's not the easiest guy to coach.
No.
Which he's not.
No, I think the dude can play. I think it's weird with point guards how this dude can basically run the offense, get you triple double, plays great defense, but because he can't score, then he ain't that great.
Yeah.
But if you got guys like Westbrook, well, he can't run the team. Like, what do you want? He can run the team, and you want him to put up 30.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it's really not dealing out there like that.
Exactly.
This is why they prepare for. I think you can deal with that if you're winning, but because it's like, oh, great, you hurt. And now, if you hurt and still being a nuisance, yeah, you can go.
Yeah.
You can kick. You know, we've loaded up on talent, and we'll flip you.
Exactly.
You know, I wanted to see him stay in Boston, and hopefully they get, you know, add another scoring piece next to him. But the way it's looking now, I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone.
Yep. And they drafted Marcus Smart, and I guess they just going to roll with him.
Mm-hmm. So. They got some talent in that backcourt.
Exactly.
I heard Magic Johnson said he talked to Danny Ferry. You know, has a little more respect for him. Doesn't think he should be fired now. You know, if you feel like you made an error, he actually owned up to his error. You know, nobody wants to see people fire like that. I mean, you have to really hate a guy to be like,
to lose his job.
I hope you get fired, dog, and nobody hires your butt. I'm like, that's a lot.
Yeah. I still have yet to hear the recording. I just was like, whatever.
It did come. It was kind of like, I kind of have some questions. I mean, if he wants to, I wouldn't say how he should be, you know, not get a job in the NBA at all. But if I live in Atlanta, I might be like, you know what? If y'all got to part ways, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't mad at that. But, I mean, he talked to Magic, you know, at least had a conversation, and Magic feels a little bit better. So, I mean, I'm cool with that. But
I mean,
if I'm the Atlanta
fine,
franchise,
let me say this.
I might have to move on.
No disrespect to Magic. Magic is not, you know, the end all of end all.
No.
I mean, just because, you know, Magic is cool with him doesn't mean we have to be. So,
no.
I don't know what they said. I don't know what they talked about. So, I mean, like Chris said, I kind of still have questions, but, you know, Magic does not. And, you know, that's fine. I mean, Magic kind of, I mean, they knew each other from their playing days. So, I mean, I'm sure Magic had a level of respect for him from the beginning. You know, and, you know, had a man-to-man talk, and whatever was said is behind closed doors and between them. But, you know, Danny Ferry made a mistake. You know, is he entitled to a second chance? Of course he is. But, you know, like I said, what he did was very dumb and terrible.
Yeah, very.
But, you know, do I believe he's racist? I don't know. You know, just, I don't know. I can't say yes and I can't say no. I haven't heard the tape, so I don't know.
It's always like doing them comments. Yeah, he just made some ignorant statements. I don't know his heart, okay. But
and that could be the case. So I just don't know.
Personally. He said some dumb shit. Yeah. And basically, and if it costs you your job, yeah, it's on that level where if you lost your job, I could be like, yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happened with him. You know, somebody who did get a job, Lawrence Frank.
Nice.
Added to the Clippers bench. Clippers is trying, man. Bench getting stronger. I know Cassell's over there. You know, they made some progress.
Mm-hmm.
Got some new blood, mm-hmm. You know, new ownership, all that out the way. And I used to got to see Shelly Sterling. And
apparently Steve Ballmer already came out and was like, yeah, we getting rid of Apple everything.
Yeah, I heard that.
I can't knock him. The man worked for Microsoft. So, of course, I'm sure he's still a competitor. At heart, it was like, yeah, I'm not good. I'm not down with Apple. Look, like, dude, I was this. What is he, the CEO of Microsoft?
Yeah,
Like, I'm
look. We
me and Steve Jobs are we cool, but he over there, and I'm over here. So yeah,
look, it's different. Look, listeners, we both have a separate phone. I am an iPhone user.
Yeah, I'm a Droid user.
So I'm almost like, you tell me what? I can't use my iPhone. Excuse me. I can't use no Apple products. Say what? Now, if you are going to make it like a work-ish phone and be like, all right, well, here's a brand new state-of-the-art phone and I'll cover your bill. All right. You know, I mean, don't come to my... Trust me, I will be like, oh, Steve, I'm going to come into my house, hide all the Apple shit. But I'm not going to be like, dude, I got a Mac
outside
at home.
Of work. I personally don't think it's that serious to wear like outside of work. I think more so inside the like their locker room, mm-hmm. and stuff. I'm sure stuff will be swapped out from Microsoft products, whatever it may be. But I'm sure like at home you can use your freaking iPhone or your iPod or whatever you want to use. I don't care.
You better.
I would assume. I mean, you can't dictate what I can do at home.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's the job. You can't tell me what I can do at home.
You going to pay me? You going to buy me a brand new computer phone?
So I'm like,
that?
You can't tell me. At work, you can tell me whatever I can do. Mm-hmm. Off work, off site, you can't tell me. You can't tell me what I can do at home. I can do whatever I want.
Man, I'm excited about the season. I'm still in football mode, but...
Oh, yeah,
I'm ready. I've seen the interviews, you know, LeBron.
The hate is already starting to kick in.
Why he getting slim? I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
And I saw them three, and I was like, oh, yeah, coming for y'all. Coming for y'all.
Yeah, I don't.
Ready.
You know, I guess he slimmed to 250. I mean, everybody said he was 250, but he was more 270. 250 is fine. If he got to 230.
250 is still big.
I mean, 230, I'd be like, ooh. You getting slim. I'm like, plus you ain't 35. Don't, you know,
try he's my age. Copy in the he's the same age as I am. You know,
the trend starters like the Spurs. Oh, Tim Duncan started losing weight, getting healthy. Oh, okay. Yeah, let's do that.
That should be a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. I mean, that you're an athlete. You should be trying to remain healthy.
He's got Varejao. He's got Love. He's got Tristan Thompson. It's a better, you know, big man front court that he had in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he feel like, all right, I've been – loosen up a bit, get a little quicker, don't mm-hmm. have to pound as much. I mean, we'll see. I mean, the dude is already fast, so it may work in his favor. You know, maybe it helps him stay, you know, since he's going to be playing in June every mm-hmm. season, according to all the experts. LeBron on your team, championship. Mm-hmm. You want to crown their ass, then crown them.
Of course.
You know, but, hey, he got slim. It happens. We'll see. I know he's on the diet. He had no sugars and all that, only – fish, fruits, and vegetables.
Good for him.
You know, eat healthy.
Good for him.
We repeating anyway. Or maybe we playing the Bulls and repeating anyway. It don't matter.
Hey, y'all be playing us.
We going to be getting into that.
And we going
to
win.
All right, playoffs is about to start soon in Major League Baseball. Let me give our shout-outs to Derek Jeter, his last game at Yankee Stadium. I know this is pretty much it for him. Did his whole tour. Everybody giving him love. But, hey, man, I can't knock him. How to end your last game in the city that you love, RBI single to win it. I mean.
You don't get no better than
that. Nah, I don't. Bye to the captain, standing ovation, everybody giving him love. I mean, I got mad respect for Jeter.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, dude has been class. He's been a winner. He hasn't. I don't consider him the greatest shortstop.
No, not by any means.
You know,
means.
I mean, people like he slow down. If you is he the best Yankee shortstop? I don't know because I'm not a Yankee dude like that. If you want to argue that, but
a lot of people don't have him as one of the top five Yankees of all time.
No, so I mean that's you know that's
the
that's
Yankees
heavy.
Are good. It's not like they've been whacked. Like they've
Mickey
had
Mantle,
you know what I'm saying? Joe DiMaggio. They have so many good players on their team, so it's hard to just say, "Oh, he's the best Yankee of all." He's up there.
Yeah, he's been solid
from day one.
Yeah, what makes him that guy?
He's clutch.
Yeah, he's intangibles, and yeah, the dude comes up, makes big plays. That's why he's got championships.
It almost seems like he finds himself in the biggest moments of the biggest games, and he prevails.
Yeah, I know
more
Keith
often than
Olbermann
not.
Went on him, and all the Jeter fans were like, "What?" Keith Olbermann was basically like, "He ain't all that." It basically like, "All right, he say he's a winner, but what about all these times he didn't win? What about all these times he's come up short?"
And I mean, he's been good. Yeah, I mean, he's been a solid healer. He ain't like a home run power guy. He's a guy who he hits for contact. Mm-hmm. He hits for average.
3,000 hits.
You know what I'm saying? He can steal bases in his prime. You know, but again, it was his intangibles. You know, him being one of the best teammates of all time. You know, he's just no real off field issues to speak of, if any.
No, nah, dude, basically brings in people to
you know what I'm saying. He generated so much money for the Yankees just his mere presence alone. He's just an all around great guy. You know, a guy who is a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't think there's any question about that. And I can appreciate the way he went out. He said he wanted his last game at shortstop to be at Yankee Stadium. He said he is not going to play the Red Sox, even though it's their division rival. And, of course, you know, as the rival, I'm sure they would appreciate, you know, playing him for his last game.
They playing him. He just ain't playing shortstop.
Well, I'm just saying, well, I don't know if he's going to play at all.
No, this first game he played. Today he played, but
he
got
DH?
Pulled early. Yeah, he said he's going to be DH.
Oh, okay.
He's not.
Well, in that case, then okay. Yeah, but yeah, I can respect him for not wanting to play shortstop, you know, again.
Yeah, he said, didn't he want his last time as Yankee Stadium?
That was awesome to see.
Look, the dude, you know, he's going to be a legend in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
The guy is clutch.
Oh, yeah.
He makes the clutch plays. Everybody's going to always remember that play he made against Oakland A's.
Where he
picked it up, just flipped it for the out. I mean, the guy's been clutch. So I have to give him that, and you know it's been the tour. We gotta say what we gotta say about him.
Of course,
I read Girardi kind of got in on his team about they lackluster play this season. I'm like, nigga, this has been the Derek Jeter farewell tour.
Yeah,
I mean, if you was trying to win, then it wouldn't have been about Derek Jeter. It'd been like, let's try to win some games, and maybe you had to sit Derek Jeter. Maybe Derek Jeter is your DH, but we can't do that.
Nope,
we got to give Derek Jeter love. Well. You know, I would think that if I'm in a locker room, like, this year has been about him.
Exactly.
Not the Yankees. I'm like, no offense.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I love playing with the dude, but, you know, he deserves all this. But this has been the year for Derek Jeter, not the Yankees going to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Maybe next year when he's off, you know, they ain't got to worry about it and, you know, paying a guy for what he's done, not what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, face it. It's just, hey, y'all, off 2 years in a row.
And just as a farewell as well. The Chicago White Sox will be retiring the number 14 jersey of Paul Konerko. This will be his last year as a White Sox player. Long time Chicago White Sox, started off with the Dodgers and, you know, helped us win a World Series ring back in 2000. You know, a very classy guy. Don't hear anything about him. No off-field issues. Has been a captain for X amount of years. Holds a bunch of records for the White Sox. And, you know, being a White Sox fan and watching them all these years, he is probably the second best White Sox player I have seen behind Frank Thomas.
Mm.
So, I mean, both first basemen, both great hitters, both classy guys, you know. So, again, he is a guy he's not spoken about a whole lot. But I'm sure you will hear about him, you know, at some point on SportsCenter or something along them lines. You will hear about him. But, you know, farewell to him. It's been a pleasure, you know, to watch him all these years as a fan and, you know, wish him the best of luck in the future.
Oh, yeah. And then going into these playoffs, you got a National League, the Washington Nationals clinched it.
Whoop, whoop.
You know, they're going in. Dodgers clinched their division.
Whoop, whoop.
You know, Giants.
Clayton Kershaw did it. Clayton Kershaw strikes again.
Yeah, we got St. Louis in it.
Mm-mm.
Pirates back.
And
the Giants. Mm-hmm. So all the Princeton is locked up. It's just,
you know, Dodger fans are like, oh, God.
We'll see who they're going to play. But Washington, nice. I mean, back on the scene again. Mm.
All that potential has finally started to pay off. Mm-hmm. You know, Bryce Harper, number one pick. Steven Strasburg, number one pick. Everybody, why they resting him? Well, now he's good to go. I don't think they will be resting him this time around. So,
nah,
looks like we good to go. Fire him up. And, hey, this looks like it's going to be a pretty good playoff. Yeah.
Dodgers, hopefully that money.
Hopefully we get a freeway World Series for the first time ever. I will freaking watch every game if it's Angels versus Dodgers. I'm watching every game.
I'm trying to go.
I'm sorry. I'm not.
You're not trying to go?
No, because it's gonna be too ridiculous. It ain't worth the drive. It ain't worth the traffic. It ain't worth dealing with them obnoxious fans.
Oh.
I can get beer and hot dogs and watch it from the comfort of my own couch. I'm sorry. I am sorry. But I will watch every game.
No, I'm saying.
But I'll be at home watching.
Because the Angels, they won the American League. You know, and if things play out, they'll be hosting.
Again, finally, the potential has finally come together.
Yes, all that
Albert
money.
Albert Pujols, Josh Hamilton, and Mike Trout. Now we get to see, brother. It's time for you to show up.
Yeah, now
it's
playoff time.
Now we get to see the real Mike Trout.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do, boy?
You know, Baltimore Orioles is in, winning their division.
Good job. Nice.
Detroit Tigers.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the Royals made it. I was like, what?
Hey, you know what? Let me give some love to the Royals. They've been, what, since like the 80s?
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Shout out to y'all, because they've been the bottom of the barrel in the Central for a long time. So, yeah. Hey, I'm rooting for them.
And it looks like Oakland A's. It looks like they're going to make it in as that last wild card.
Maybe we can see a repeat Oakland Dodgers.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
They're struggling in. Looks like they'll be in the wild card game. So, you know, I'm curious to see. This is when I start watching.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we get to our awards, shout out to UCLA stomping Arizona State. 62-27.
Mud hole them. Hey, sorry, Mom, but... I know that's your alma mater, but Lord, they got their butts kicked. I mean, UCLA, they creeping up to that top 10.
Yeah, they was, you know.
They creeping up to that top 10.
Yeah, I'm telling you, baby.
Hopefully we can see that UCLA-Oregon game. Holla at your boy.
Yeah, because
I know it's coming down to that. Because USC, they got a loss on their record.
Yep.
So I don't know. But yeah, shout out to them. Good job, Brett Hundley's back. And, you know, hopefully the kid can show why everybody was ranting and raving about him being a first-round pick in the draft coming up.
No, I feel that. All right, y'all. Let's get on to the awards for the week.
Woo!
Starting off with the Noice Award.
Noice, Noice, Noice.
Noice, Noice!
Who you got for your Noice Award?
All right, the Noice Award for me is going to my boy, D. Rose. For those of y'all who weren't aware, he did donate $1 million to a Chicago-based nonprofit organization called After School Matters. Which provides out-of-school programs for teenagers. It says the teen population that After School Matters serves is almost entirely minority and living at or below the poverty line. So, you know, definitely a good look, you know, trying to help the people that are less fortunate than himself. And he came out and said, you know, to have a strong community of people who believe in your potential can make all the difference in the world. And then so many people have invested in me, and I want to do the same for the Chicago team. So it's good to see, you know, this is a man who's from the city of Chicago, clearly is trying to better his town, you know, has a lot of pride in his city. And, you know, he has shown, if nothing else, in his years in the NBA that he's just genuinely just a good guy.
Right.
He's just a nice guy. And I told Chris, you know, I'd like to see this out of more players. I'm like, you know, not necessarily every NBA player, but these superstars, you know, your Kevin Durant, you know, I see he donates money and stuff like that. You know, but like, you know, the Mellos, the Kobe's and all that stuff. I'd like to see a lot of these guys give, you know, like $1 million to mm-hmm. a charity. Because I'm like, for me, a lot of these, they can afford it. $1 million is a drop in the hat to some of you guys. For some of these other lesser players, yes. You ain't dropping $1 million. I can just, you know, you give a $5,000, $10,000 mm-hmm. donation, fine. But for some of these upper echelon elite guys, I'd like to see them donate, you know, $1 million here. You know, give $500,000 to this chair. I mean, in all honesty, these guys make more money than they could possibly spend in their lifetime.
If they're smart.
you know, thank you. If they're smart, I mean, yes, we do hear about some of these guys who go bankrupt.
YOLO.
But, I mean, for these guys who are smart with their money, you know, that I like seeing things like this. I mean, that, like, honestly, if I'm making millions like this, yeah, I'd give $1 million to a child. I mean, why not?
It's you know it's a tax write-off, too.
Plus, I'm like, it's not like I'm going to spend all these millions in my life. So,
I mean, you know where you came from. A lot of them came from, you know, where just a little help comes from. And I know what Derek, I mean, this is his city.
Yeah, this is his town. Right. And he's trying to clean it up.
You know,
and I ain't mad at him.
After school programs, because that's always, you know, positive, trying to give kids something to do when school is out.
Exactly. Trying to, you know, keep them the joints and keep their noses clean.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them away from the drugs, keep them away from the guns, you know, help them out.
Yeah, just give them something.
Especially
to
in
do.
The city of Chicago. Where the rate of getting killed
and crime rate is
really high out there. So, you know, again, I really commend him for trying to make a difference in this city.
No,
that's what's up.
I'm glad to see it. My North Award is going out to Devon Steeles. We talked about last week with your North Award where mm-hmm. him with the bang goals mm-hmm. and all that. Well, you know, he put out a little video of him giving a pep talk to his daughter. Who's right before going in to have surgery, which was turned out to be successful and she seems to be doing well. But it was cute, little 5 minute, you know, not 5 minute, little 5-10 second thing where he's just looking at her like, you ready? You pumped? We gonna beat this cancer? You ready to do this? Let's go. And I was like, oh, and she, you know, she got the face on like she ready and feeling confident. So, man, I mean, that's a lot, man. You love seeing fathers out there doing their thing, you know, being real fathers to their kids and just caring. So that's always positive, man. I always love to see that.
Yeah. That's an awesome story, and much prayers. You know, definitely go out to Devon Steele and his daughter. Cause, mm-hmm. you know, it's got to be rough. I'm not sure if he's a single father or not.
I don't know.
Honestly, yeah, I don't know the situation with the relationship. I would assume only because I've never seen him with anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to assume in this case. So, you know, shouts out to him and his family. You know, and you know. God is with that little girl.
Mm-hmm.
God is with that little girl.
Yeah, so that's always positive to see. All right, on to the what the fuck moments.
Oh, I got mine.
All right, what is it?
What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck that!
Laker fans again.
Oh, shoot.
Golly, y'all just can't.
They ready now. It's their
Nick
time
Young.
Of the year. Swaggy P, what do you
no,
doing?
No, no, no. I understand we haze rookies. I understand this.
Okay, oh, shit.
But I'm not calling your ass Daddy Swag, nigga. Apparently, he has rookies calling him. It says, what does it say? Jordan Clarkson was interviewed, and part of their rookie duties is to call him Daddy Swag. And I was like, nigga, I would never call you Daddy Swag.
You don't know about that? Dean, big brother almighty.
That's ridiculous. So, what the fuck?
That's real. My what the fuck moment is going out to this member of the American Junior Ryder Cup golf team. This dude, I don't know how I saw this video. I think I saw it on Twitter. This dude is basically taking credit for the Shmurda dance. Interview was like, so I heard you came out with this new dance. You got a new celebration? It's like, yeah, this new dance called the Shmurda Dance. And they do it on screen, and it's awful. I mean, they do it terribly. It's bad. I don't get, like, really, we know y'all like taking our culture, like taking stuff we do, making dances up. It's just the thing. But really, that's what you're going to do? You're going to take the Shmurda Dance? Like, it's the Shmurda Dance. You even said it's the Shmurda Dance. Like, who was that? Bobby Shmurda. Like, why? You named the dance the Shmurda Dance, and you do it awful. Like, ugh, stop taking all stuff. Like, basically, when I saw that, I was like, all right, well, that's dead.
Yep.
Shmurda Dance is over. Ain't nobody doing that no more. Nah, nope. You just ruined
you
that.
You killed it, bruh. Right. See, it. Why, man? Why can't you just go along with it? I made it. Why you got it? Dude, you're a professional golfer. Why you got to take the Shmurda dance?
Yeah,
secondly,
you know, he's a junior Ryder Cup golfer.
Secondly, I've seen the Shmurda dance way before Bobby Shmurda is doing it. All he's doing is just, I don't know.
All these new dances is something off
of somebody else. So, I mean, you didn't create anything.
I'm calling this dance the layman snap. What is it? I'm just snapping my fingers. But I'm gonna move my hand in a certain way.
And did,
well, you it's the layman snap. Did, like that's a finger snap.
Bobby Shmurda say it's the Shmurda dance.
It's called the Shmurda dance because you got people do that. Bro, you doing the Shmurda? I'm like, you're moving your hips.
It wasn't really.
Don't be claiming stuff.
Yeah. So
it's a Shmurda walk. Yeah, I'm just walking. It was called Shmurda walk. Like nigga, I can't walk. Now I'm walking like you. I'm just walking.
Yeah. So stop trying to claim something that ain't yours. Whatever.
Yeah, Bobby Shmurda took it, made it popular. Everybody's doing it.
Bobby Shmurda did not create it. Neither did you.
Tweaking ho. Like, oh, Lord.
Do the homie. Do the homie. That's all that. I'm sorry. That's all I see when I hear Bobby Shmurda. just look up Gangstalicious Do the Homie, and that video will tell you everything you need to know about what I think about that Bobby Shmurda. Because let me tell you.
Yeah, we got. Hey, man, when the white folk doing it, it's just.
That shit is great. Okay. Nah, it's played out.
Yeah, it's done. Next. What's our next thing? With the chef, and after that, came flippity floppity floop. Like, oh, shit, man.
Oh, man.
But thank y'all once again for tuning in to the Brother Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you check us out on Stitcher and iTunes Radio under Black Is. If y'all like what you hear, leave us a rating. We do love the 5-star kind. You can also give us that thumbs up on Stitcher. You can also check us out on the website, blackisonline.com. Check us out on all the other shows with us, The Break. You know, if y'all wanted to hear more about the what's going on in the NFL with this abuse, we talk about it on there. That was a great episode that we got to do.
Mm-hmm.
You got The Jam with Merk 80, DJ Val the Vandalone. That was a cool episode. We still got Coach Connection, the Brown Girl Hour.
Yep.
Turn my headphones up.
Yep.
If y'all want to get at us, please do. TheBrothersLayman@gmail.com. On Twitter, @BrothersLayman. On the hotline, 323-455-4219. And I just want to say, man, I appreciate all y'all who've been, you know, writing in and sending us feedback and emails with, like, the last couple months, man. I mean, that really means a lot to us. You know, we love reading it. We love interacting with y'all. And just want to let you know we do appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely is much appreciated. You know, love hearing from you guys, you know, especially, you know, some of the people who we don't know, you know, some of you guys who might have just stumbled upon the show or, you know, heard it from hearing us on a different show. Definitely want to thank y'all for taking your time out and, you know, tuning into the show, seeing what we about. We definitely appreciate it. And, you know, for those who are wondering, yes, we will respond to you on Twitter. It's not like you tweet us and we just ignore cats. We do respond to them. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to y'all and ain't no thing.
No, we love interaction.
We ain't too big for y'all, so it ain't nothing.
Nah, we love the fans.
You know, definitely want to thank y'all for tuning in to us. For the longtime listeners, thank you for staying in touch with us and staying in tuned. For the first time listeners, hey, definitely want to thank y'all for taking the time to listen to us. Go ahead and tell all your loved ones, tell your friends, tell your family, your mothers, your daddies, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews, tell your dogs, cats, chickens, ducks, roosters, tell your fishes, tell your barracudas, tell your piranhas, tell your sea lions, tell your walruses. For those of y'all who've seen that movie Tusk, heard it's nuts. I heard it's funny as hell though. It's about Jason Long, but apparently this dude gets turned into a walrus, human walrus.
Oh,
so I don't know. Yeah, tell your walruses, your sea lions, your whales. Go ahead and tell everybody about the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where it goes down. And we have been your gracious hosts, Chris and Jonathan, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla.
People gon' dance to give the record a second and a chance to hitting people like a scene of amazement. While they slipping back, my feet just planted in the pavement. Crumble, I can never do. So now I'm looking dead at you. What are you gonna do? You listen to the knowledge of a scholar. You say how I breathe, tell them how I holler. I'm the E double, and I proclaim my name. Straight up, good gang, peeps all game. I'm like a rhino running through the roughest pack. They figure I'm a trigger happy nigga, so they step back. Breathe. The microphone is food lasts the longest, so news is strongest. It ain't a game, it's plain to see. You listen to the sounds of breathe. There ain't no future in your front. I never got caught with a
kilo. And if you ever do, yo, it'll ever be with Leo. Serve it in a Cherokee or maybe it's a Geo. Black on black Benzo, we'll get it up for me, though. Never have to worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo, TB, pop the trunk. Cause we don't go for playing when I play to grab a ball. When I'm on the mic, I ain't for playing, not at all. Cause I clock 10 G's a week, booming at my peak. Always see E's sober, but I do get geek. I can give you a job, a place to eat hearty. Meet your homeboy Marty at a B.O.B. party taking over. Barking like a dog named Zoom. I'm picking suckers like a four-leaf clover. Ain't biting words on the mic, they some cobras. So now they saying egg breeders get no. Playing the future in the front. The B, the R to the double E-G, and down with my homie G-A-S-N-O-E, and suckers cause I'm starting cause we still be disagreeing. I don't give a cause I'm from F-L-I-M-T in a city where pity runs low. If you ever shoot through my city, now you know, cause we are strictly business and we also got a pride. And if you don't like it, I suggest you break wide. Suckers study looking for the ammo in the wire, thinking that illegal is the best for slowly dying. I ain't got time to see a fiend out, to give up all his money and to give up what he got. That's the way I am, MC Boo cannot be different. Never change the ways for the world or the government. If it was the president, then I would state facts. You leave it up to me, I'll paint the White House black and it can feature in your front. Was a fiend and my gold would be stolen. Put my name Breed on everything I own. And when I get my Jeep, I'm putting Breed on the chrome. Shine it up good, kick it through my neighborhood. Motorola phone, fat rims and a Kenwood. Put the kid around it and then I'll have to drop. Just because the riding people think I'm selling rocks, but ain't no future in your front. There ain't no future in your front. Your flash, man, clock that. To the rules of the world. Live my life raw, cause I never liked the law. Wear top tens on my ass, use jeans. Selling big gates and tip for tat to the fiends. Pack much dollars, but I never break a sweat. Time to move out, my posse saying, you got my back and I got yours. What time is it? Tear down the door. Yo, well, let's start this party, alright? Kick out that fat dance.